אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי
בעל הסולם. We are reading in the writings of בעל הסולם, the article The Peace. The heading is the necessity to practice caution with laws of nature. You can send questions, pertinent questions will be aired during the lesson. The necessity to practice caution with the laws of nature. We can all plainly see that the human species must lead a social life, meaning we cannot exist and sustain ourselves without the help of society. Therefore, imagine an event where one retires from society to a desolate location and lives there a life of misery and great pain due to his inability to provide for his needs. That person would have no right to complain about Providence or his fate. And if that person were to do that, meaning complain and curse his bitter fate, he would only be displaying his stupidity. For while Providence has prepared for him a comfortable, desirable place in society, he has no justification to retire from it to a desolate place. And such a person must not be pitied, since he goes against the nature of creation, since he has the option to live as Providence has ordered him. He should not be pitied. I don't see there's any questions here. Or are there? Gershon? No? Okay, we can continue.
And that sentence is agreed upon by all of humanity without dispute. I can add and establish it on a religious basis and give it such a form. Since Providence extends from the Creator, who undoubtedly has a purpose in his actions, since no one acts without a purpose, we find that anyone who breaks a law from the laws of nature that he has imprinted in us corrupts the purposeful aim. Because the purpose is undoubtedly built over all the laws of nature, none excluded, thus as the clever worker would not add or subtract even a hair's breadth of the necessary actions to attain the goal, he who spoils even a single law harms and damages the purposeful aim that the Creator has set and will therefore be punished by nature. Hence we too, creatures of the Creator, must not pity him because he desecrates the laws of nature and defiles the purpose of the Creator. That, I believe, is the form of the sentence.
He's emphasizing, in my opinion, because all those who think that they're founded on what they call religious level on the second line there in that same column. So, are not with him on this, on that same opinion.
And I believe that it is not a good idea for anyone to contradict this form that I have given to the sentence, since the word of the sentence are one. For what is the difference if we say that the supervisor is called nature, meaning mindless and purposeless, or saying that the supervisor is wondrously wise, knowing, feeling, and has a purpose in his actions? And then we all admit and agree that we are obliged to observe the commandments of Providence, meaning the laws of nature. And we all admit that one who breaks the commandments of the Providence, meaning the laws of nature, should be punished by nature and must not be pitied by anyone. Thus, the nature of the sentence is the same, and the only difference is the motive. They maintain that the motive is necessary. And I maintain that it is purposeful to avoid having to use both tongues from now on, one, nature, two, a supervisor, between which I have shown there is no difference regarding to the following of the laws. It is best for us to agree and accept the words of the Kabbalists that Hateva, the nature, has the same numerical value in Hebrew as Elohim, God. 86. Then I will be able to call the laws of God nature's mitzvot, commandments, or vice versa. The mitzvot of Elohim by the name of nature's laws. For they are one and the same, and we need no discuss it further.
Questions? This is a very important piece here. Yes. Meaning what we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, we are learning about the laws of nature, or the God's desire, or the mitzvot of the Torah. Doesn't matter how you say it, but these are the laws. Whereas if we were to observe them, we would be included in this method called, in this system called God. And no matter if you relate to the upper force as Elohim, as God, as nature, or as something that exists outside of your desire, inside your desire, as nature is one who provides according to laws or according to principles, it doesn't matter. As long as you know that you need to keep this, and from your deeds, we get to know you. Yes.
Well, you answered part of my question, but still there's the matter of what is a law, like the laws of nature?
Law. Do you know law? Like a physics law, a chemistry? You learn that. Those are laws of nature.
Okay, so what are the laws of nature of a regular person?
On a human level, we also have laws that we don't recognize, we don't feel them, and therefore we live all the time with mistakes and suffer all the time. And our life, therefore, is arranged in such a way that it's to our detriment.
What happens if a person feels that the Creator here we're speaking about?
If a person feels all the laws of nature, it's considered that he's under the awareness of the laws of godliness. And then he's observing those laws of nature, or the mitzvot of the Creator, the mitzvot, the commandments of God, which is the same.
And if he has contradictions with the providence, that he can't keep the laws of nature,
if he doesn't succeed, he suffers. But the upper providence arranges for us such a place, a special place, so we can gradually enter into the observance of all the laws of nature. Then you see that from year to year, human ego rises, and there we seemingly are more obliged to keep those laws of God, or the laws of nature, or the commandments of nature. And if not, we suffer more. Until we come and ask, what are we living for at all? Yeah?
Still the matter that he's saying that it's a mistake that you feel with your dialogue to nature.
You want to keep it. There are laws of nature that you want to keep necessarily. I don't want to jump into a fire because I'll burn myself. But there are such laws that I don't feel that I'm burned, and I don't feel like I'm burning my future. And so I do whatever I feel like. I get into some lust. Oh, I feel good. I enjoy. Oh, how fun. I stole something. I did something kind of at the expense of others. As long as mostly it's towards others, these laws, because the general law is connection with others. And if you cause bad to others, then that's actually the matter, the point here. If you don't cause bad to others, Because we think that in our discernments that we do all kinds of things that are not, how should we say, not nice, not good, transgressions, because we enjoy. You're allowed to enjoy. I want to eat today lunch twice. If I don't do any bad to anyone by that, why not? I want today to go and have fun in all kinds of ways. If you're not causing bad to others, have fun. Do you understand? We have a little warping in understanding things. It's only in harming others, because by that you're harming godliness. Only in that. If we arrange ourselves in such a way, we will succeed.
Could it be that there's a state, let's say, in contradiction or with what you're saying now, that if you're not helping the others, you're also harming because you can't help the others?
Yes, of course, that yes, but only in relation to others.
Yeah, I'm only speaking towards the others.
That's it, in regards to others, because we, in our laws, in all kinds of things, we have come to such deviations that we're, as if we're doing all kinds of bad things and transgressions, and it's completely not considered as spirituality.
So it means that if I feel correctly, we're in a state where we can help the others, and we're not doing it.
To help others, to connect with others, to do together with others actions, that is the whole Torah. Only. Because by that you also come to bringing contentment to the Creator and to His revelation. And all the things that you don't harm others, don't harm godliness, are not considered crimes or transgressions.
I'm asking again, I'm trying to understand, by me being able or having the potential or getting an opportunity to help the others and I'm not doing it, even though I'm not harming them, by not doing it, I am harming them?
Also, because it's your obligation, because you are in one kli, and if you don't help him, you're also not helping yourself and to everyone else altogether. Of course. That's called a mitzvah, a commandment to participate in love of others, in the connection between the created beings until the degree of love.
So I have to ask him to teach me how to do it?
To ask, yes, please. That's what's given. That's what remains for you. To ask. Understanding, recognition, feeling, ability to act. That you can ask.
Thank you.
Okay? Who's there? Oh, yes, please.
Shalom, Rav.
Hello, Rav.
Hello.
It's not clear. That nature is the same calculation of Elohim.
Nature comes into the same calculation of God. Why? Because all our nature comes from Bina. Zon is nature, which all those qualities come from Bina, yes? Which is called Elohim, God. We learned this also in the article, Mi Ele. Who is Galgat Einayim? And me is Galgat Einayim, Ele is Ahab. And that's how we are constructed, created by a system called Elohim, God. It's a system, it's not. Don't think it in any other way, yes?
Can we explain in simple words?
I don't know how, meaning on the side of the upper one, there is the quality of bestowal, which is called Bina Chasadim, and he builds from those Chasadim the will to receive, so that the will to receive, to the extent in which it comes to the degree of its birther or his parent, he'll be able to be in the degree of bestowal like its parent, And then Bina will be able to fill Zon with the light of Chochmah. And then this lower one, which receives the light of Chochmah, will be similar to Keter. That is, Bina corrects the lower one in order to fill it with the light of Chochmah, as in Chochmah, the lower one resembles the Keter. And that's how you have a whole connection between Keter, Chochmah, Bina, Zagan, Bin, Melchut.
Is it a law to love the others in this world?
In our world, this is the law that we must observe, keep. Yes?
So this is, if this is the case, why there are so many people, why the humanity didn't reach this state where everybody... I take an example. If I steal or if I do something bad, there is a law. They catch me, they will put me... If they catch me, they will put me in jail. But why... But why in this world, why when people are not following the law of nature to love people, why nothing happen?
Because these are spiritual laws, not corporeal laws, which are concealed, and they are before you according to your desire, according to the extent of your greatness, your awareness. Also, in the human society, there are people who never say hello, thank you, please. They don't have the whole preparation from their education for courtesy. And also in spirituality, there needs to be a specific preparation in order to connect with the other broken vessels. And if you don't connect to them, then you live your world, your little world. You want to have a bigger kli in order to feel godliness in it, then you must connect with the other kelim. And then, like we learned in the study of Ten Tzviot, you play there as Galgat Einayim, them as Achap, and so on. And that's how we connect to 10 whole Tzviot. It's not... Well, it comes to oblige you, but in such a way that you feel... an obligation for the form of it becoming bad for you, and then you start to look for what is actually the reason for that bad. Then you discover that it's because I need to connect with others. That's what humanity is searching for now. Why is it feeling bad?
What will bring the humanity to start to follow the law of nature?
Only trouble. Other than you helping them to understand why they're suffering. The Creator gives problems, and we need to add to those problems, the sufferings, an explanation of why they're suffering. Who brings them the sufferings, and so on.
You were talking about, let's say, the law of nature, Raf. The law of nature is actually fixed. That's why it's called, let's say, a law. It should apply be for everybody. Because we're working all, let's say, under the same law. Why does it, let's say, appear to us...
Okay.
Why does it appear to us, let's say, that the law of nature only works on us studying Kabbalah? And... a lot of friends of mine, and also to the 99%, are very successful, and it looks like they're not under this law, not suffering at all. And we feel, let's say, these pluses and minuses and everything. So it looks like that the law is only working for us in Kabbalah. Why is this so?
Because Kabbalah students are the worst of all. They are the most blemished, flawed, corrupted. These are the parts of the one Kli that is called Adam, which are belonging to the worst possible layer, the lowest layer. Therefore, their inclination is great. And that's why they suffer more. On one hand. On the other hand, the fact that they suffer more, they can advance faster, because the suffering awakens them to find the reason and the solution. And that's how it is with each and every person. Not everyone is equal. We're not all equal. You can see in the world, no one's equal to the other. And that's why we all advance to such a recognition, that same necessity, the correction, gradually. What happens, what does happen, is that in our times, all of humanity is already awakening to find an answer of why we're suffering and how we can stop this suffering, because we've come to a state in which everything has been clarified already. We tried it all. Slavery, communism, socialism, all kinds of things, being rich, being poor, wars and peace and this and that, doesn't matter what, and all kinds of forms of life and family life. So the family is destroyed. The whole new generation is in ruins. All that we build only for the detriment of man. We think each time, oh, now we found something in nature, now we will have something good. That good, we turn it to bad. Why? Because our nature is like that. Our nature is like that because I first of all think, how will I do good for myself relative to others? Even if I'm not thinking about this sentence relative to others, I, inside of me, mean that. Because otherwise, how will I measure what's good and bad? Only relative to others. And then it turns out that we can never get closer to anything good. And humanity is already coming to a state where it's starting to recognize it. What do? So we come to a few people who are called Kabbalists in our times, in our generation, with the knowledge of the law of nature, and then they need to publish that and advertise this law and show everyone how we connect and what we do in order for us to be able to keep this law of nature for the benefit of everyone. And then it will truly be good for everyone. Well,
yes, Rav, thank you very much. But if you, let's say, if you stand on a tower, if you jump off the tower, it's for everybody will die if you fall off it. So that's a law. That's for everybody. So why does it appear that it's not for everybody?
Right.
This higher law. That's so strange. Because if it's a law, it should be.
So there are laws which are upon all kinds of form of different forms of nature. Let's say if a dog makes some waste in the middle of the road, you're not going to take him to the police station and put him in jail for pooping in the street. And jail, you'll even give him food. He won't want to leave there, the dog. Yes? But if a person does that, then you'll punish him. A punishment is a correction. You're educating him by that, so he won't do such things. Meaning it depends on which creation this law of nature is upon. Not about everyone altogether. You also have such people that you don't relate to us, to others, but on a lesser degree. And they're allowed to do that, let's say, to babies. They're allowed to do that because they're little. When they grow up, you'll demand it from them as well. That's how it is with us. Nature is relating to us according to our development. And therefore, one who's more developed feels that he's missing, that he needs to know why he's living, how he lives, who's governing him, etc. And so nature, on the other hand, also says, you want to know this? Please recognize the system, include yourself with everyone, and then you'll know all of it. Guys, there is no choice. That's it. Where are we? And now it is vitally important.
Now it is vitally important to us to examine nature's mitzvot, to know what it demands of us, lest it would mercilessly punish us. We have said that nature obligates humankind to lead a social life, and this is simple, but we need to examine the mitzvot that nature obliges us to observe in that respect, meaning with respect to the social life.
That's it, up to here. So we need to learn what commandments the society that we need to observe, and by that, all of our good will be there. And Song 44.
And before the song, we have an evening lesson. You're welcome at 6 p.m. live lesson with Rav Leitman on Sviva Tova. Good day, everybody.
Come on, people, gather round
above this time and space.
Come on, people, gather round.
Let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round.
The circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round.
Put a smile on your face.
Clear your senses, free your mind. Your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together. So get up on your feet, completing the circle,
come my way,
completing the circle,
unite and play,
completing the circle, let the love shine night and day, completing the circle,
come my way,
completing the circle,
unite and play,
completing the circle, let the love.
Gather round
above this time and space.
Come on, people, gather round.
Let's find a higher place.
Come on, people, gather round.
The circle awaits.
Come on, people, gather round.
Put a smile on your face.
Clear your senses, free your mind. Your heart will keep the beat. Let's all sing together. So get up on your feet.
Completing the circle,
come my way.